Australia's plain packaging tobacco laws, you remember they passed in 2011, certainly brought into force last December. They've won widespread praise from public health organisations, certainly here and overseas. The UK and New Zealand recently announced they're looking to follow suit as well. And anyone who's bought a packet of cigarettes since Christmas knows the drab olive pack, the graphic images, the health warnings. And despite the government prevailing in their efforts to introduce this in the High Court last year, 6-1 was their victory over a tobacco industry challenge. The legislation is still under attack by both the industry and some tobacco-producing nations in the international arena. Cuba, for example, the latest to make a stand, the famous maker of cigars, joined by her fellow cigar-producing nations, Honduras and the Dominican Republic, which, along with the Ukraine, interestingly, plan to contest the Australian laws in the World Trade Organization. To explain what's involved in these various challenges, we're joined by Tanya Voon, the Professor of Law at the University of Melbourne. She's also co-editor of the book Public Health and Plain Packaging of Cigarettes, The Legal Issues. Tanya, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning.
So four countries now lined up against Australia. What is the basis of their challenge?
Essentially, they're complaining that Australia has violated World Trade Organization rules about intellectual property, including in particular trademarks, and also rules about labelling.
And have they, in your view?
In my view, they haven't. I think Australia has a strong case and is likely to win against all four countries. Australia's plain packaging law is consistent with WTO rules because it doesn't discriminate against imports or between imports from particular countries. And also, it's based on genuine and legitimate health grounds and empirical evidence about the impact of plain packaging on consumers and potential consumers, including children.
So the government will make the same defence at the World Trade Organization that it successfully made at the High Court.
Well, that's right. I mean, the laws are obviously quite different and the details of the laws are quite different, but I think ultimately this case is not really about the law and it's not even really about Australia. What it's about is really the tobacco industry's fear that their profits are going to be eroded around the world if countries follow Australia's lead, which, as you said, it looks like it is going to happen. In the case of the World Trade Organization, the tobacco industry can't bring claims directly, so they need to find countries that will do it essentially on their behalf or with their support, and tobacco companies have indicated publicly that they are supporting these countries in these legal challenges.
And one can understand why Cuba, Honduras and the Dominican Republic might be among those countries with their famous cigars, but the Ukraine, why are they involved?
Well, the Ukraine does produce cigarettes. As I understand, it doesn't have any trade in cigarettes or tobacco products with Australia. But I think it is really, it's a political question. It's a question of the industry pursuing this matter through whatever means it can. And that includes a claim by Philip Morris Asia against Australia under the Hong Kong-Australia Bilateral Investment Treaty. So in that context, it was able to bring a claim directly against the country. That dispute, the investment dispute, is likely to take some years and will probably be concluded only after the WTO cases.
I see. That's a separate legal challenge from a company as distinct from a country. So that'll be determined after this one. Let's turn to the World Trade Organization process. How drawn out is it?
Well, initially there'll be consultations between Cuba and Australia. Those would normally last up to 2 months, and then after that Cuba will be able to request the establishment of a panel, which would be a three-person body to hear the dispute. Most likely that panel would hear the complaints of all four countries together, and that could take probably around a year and could be followed by an appeal process, which might take, say, three to 6 months after that.
Will the World Trade Organization give any consideration or weight to Australia's High Court ruling?
In a legal sense, it won't have weight, but I think it's certainly relevant in a number of the sort of factual considerations about the plain packaging measure did come up in that case, and will certainly, I've no doubt, the decision makers and the people deciding the dispute in the WTO will be looking carefully at that case.
Does Cuba have some reason to be upset insofar as they don't make the mass cigarette production that is so prevalent in the deaths of people. They make these boutique cigars. And in Australia, you can, you know, spend more than $100 to buy a very exclusive, expensive Cuban cigar. And it's removed from its traditional hand-carved wooden box, taken out under Australian law and put into this plastic sleeve with a picture of a cancerous tongue in it. Shouldn't there be an exception for the Cubans, or at least can you have some sympathy with them?
I think you're right that is the primary concern of Cuba, but I think behind that you don't need to dig very far before you find the multinational tobacco companies. Ironically, I think it would be harder for Australia to justify its laws if it did distinguish between tobacco products, because the World Trade Law requires members to treat products, imported products, no less favourably than domestic products, and not to discriminate between imported products from different countries. And in that regard, as soon as you start introducing distinctions between, say, cigarettes and cigars, it's more likely that you might encounter a problem in the WTO.
So where the Australian cigar connoisseur might think this is the nanny state gone mad. They may have one cigar every few months, and they get it in this horrible plastic bag. It's in fact not because of the nanny state, but because all of the health impacts of the cigarette laws may be at risk if they don't, I suppose.
That's right. And I mean, these cigars are tobacco products, and they do harm their users. Importantly, I think the plain packaging laws in Australia do allow the origin of the cigar to be specified not only on the package, but also on the cigar itself, on the cigar band.
The tobacco companies say this isn't about getting more people to smoke or fewer people to smoke. It's denying them their ability to compete with other tobacco companies among existing smokers. Are they right in that narrow sense?
Well, look, I think that the tobacco industry generally would have that argument that they're not trying to get new users. I think that in practice, when you look at the way the industry has operated over decades, it's quite clear that they are very interested in new users and new markets, untapped markets in different countries. And that is precisely why they are most concerned about this measure, because it is likely to have an impact and is intended to have an impact on people that haven't commenced smoking yet.
And how closely will the industry and governments of the world be watching these deliberations at the World Trade Organization?
I think the industry and governments will be watching extremely closely. The Ukraine case has proceeded the furthest in the WTO so far, and there's a record number of third parties involved, demonstrating the high level of interest around the world in this case. And I think that already the Australian government's success in the High Court of Australia has encouraged other countries to consider taking up a similar measure more closely. And the likely success, in my view, of the Australian government in the WTO is likely to enhance public health moves towards these kinds of measures around the world.
If you're wrong on that and Australia loses at the World Trade Organization, what will that mean?
Well, in the WTO, there's no such thing as financial compensation, so Australia wouldn't be up for millions of dollars, as I think some people have alleged. Rather, Australia would be given time to change its laws to make them comply with the WTO rules, and the government would essentially have free rein in determining exactly how to do that, and that would depend on what precisely the violation was.
Well, thank you very much for explaining it, Tanya Voon.
Thank you.
Tanya's a professor of law at the University of Melbourne. She's co-editor of the book Public Health and Plain Packaging of Cigarettes, The Legal Issues, which is published by Edward Elgar.